Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everybody. You might be expecting some song to burst forth, but we're on a little bit different format this week. Let me start by welcoming you to your place. This is Joy. I'm Wild Bill's sister. You may remember me. I ran the board here for the first year of the show, and then this year Starla has taken over that job. But tonight, she and Wild Bill are at a church function. I'm not sure about the details, but for some reason they couldn't be here. They've been so faithful and never missed a show, so we're going to let them off the hook for tonight. I'm not sure when their function ends, but I did leave a message for Wild Bill, making sure he knows we want him to call in if he does get a chance. Don't worry, you're not going to have to listen to me for the whole hour because Blog Talk Mom is here, and the two of us are really looking forward to doing the show and talking to you. Before I bring her on and we get the party started, let me just take a moment to make sure you know how much we appreciate you being here. We've got lots of people listening on the phone lines live. Let me just remind you guys, if you want to talk, go ahead and press 1. You can do that at any time. It won't bring you right on the air. It'll just light up a little hand by your number, so that I know that you want to talk. So if at any point you decide that you have something you want to say, push that 1, and I'll know it. And then whenever there's a lull in the conversation, then I will bring you on the air. Some of you are listening by computer. I do have the chat room open. Sometimes it's a bit of a challenge to get in there and actually be able to talk because you have to be registered to talk. But if you want to do it, I'm over there ready to talk to you, and you can get your, if you've got a question or something that you want to say, I can read that on to the show. Last and not least, I want to thank the people who are listening to the archive. That's the way that I usually end up listening to internet radio shows. So I just want to give a shout out to you and tell you that we appreciate you. Wild Bill's had 6,000 listeners in this less than 2 years that he's started this show from scratch, and so we appreciate all of you and hope that it's been a blessing to you. I'm going to call Blog Talk Mom Josie or Mama for the rest of the show, just so you know. The only thing he asked us, he said we could do whatever we wanted to on the show. The only thing he wanted to make sure we did was thank the military men and women who listen to the show. Make sure you know that you're in our hearts and prayers during this holiday season. Speaking of which, the holiday season is officially upon us. I love Thanksgiving. I'm going to be spending it with my 15-year-old Kevin and our own Blog Talk Mom. And I'm going to open up her microphone if I can find the right button. How are you doing, Josie?
Everything is just wonderful. I got a big smile on my face when you said that y'all were going to be here for Thanksgiving.
We are so excited. I did mean to say he's got a couple of friends over, so if there's some unusual thumping and bumping, sorry, you know how teenagers are. But I heard him telling them, I'm going to see my grandma.
We're going to have a good time. I naturally miss Wild Bill and Starla. We need to give her a label. Can't call her Wild Starla.
No, that doesn't work, does it? She could be Blog Talk Wife, I guess, but Blog Talk Mom. What I think is funny about your nickname is that Wild Bill ends up just calling you Blog Talk. He's shortened it, so now you're just Blog Talk. But I'm going to stick. We are a family of nicknames, so surely we can come up with something for Starla.
That's right. And this is a wonderful subject. We miss them, and we want to do a good job for them, because it, you know, I know you will, and I appreciate what you said about our people in, that are defending our country and that would be away from home, and also a special love and just a special love to those that maybe have lost a loved one this year, and this will be the first holiday that it seems like it's so magnified. A family member or anybody at this particular time. So
yeah.
We just pray for you.
Yeah, for anybody, there can be a melancholy. That's interesting that you said that, because I was in an extremely, woo-hoo, I'm going to visit my mom, and got a lot of stuff behind me in school, and I'm really excited about the holiday season, and now here it all comes kind of mood. And that kind of settled on me, too. You know, our own Sheila, her family, Preston and Bill. I thought about them, and it can be a melancholy season for a lot of different reasons. And we certainly know what it feels like to have holidays when somebody is, you know, when that last holiday season when Daddy, we already knew he was diagnosed and all that, which is kind of sacred and precious. Melancholy is one is part of the whole spectrum of things. We don't want to skip any of the emotions, I don't think. But I don't want to just be all rah-rah and not show compassion to somebody who might be hurting. We'd like to be a source of comfort to those people, right?
That's right.
Are you going to give us the history of Thanksgiving? Did you take any notes on that whole thing?
Well, I did.
I had a friend that... Oh, good.
I looked up, and then you can just add, I'll maybe throw out a few points, and you can color them up for me. I have a learning disability growing up, and so I sort of waved that little flag for two or three reasons, so that everybody won't think I'm stupid, and they'll understand I had a little problem there to overcome, and also because it has given me insight and compassion to those that might have a learning disability. But I did really well.
It should be encouraging to people who have one that it surely hasn't slowed you down. Go ahead.
That, in accomplishments, that's true. If you just really set your heart, then of course God blesses our efforts. But I was when I are you laughing?
No.
Oh, I thought that said something funny. Anyway, back to my learning.
I didn't push that laughter button like I did that one time. Sound like you're at a party.
No, I want the applause one. I think that is so neat. You know, when Wild Bill was coming on and you hit the button and everything, or I guess it was Starlin and he was being applauded. I would do that if this was my program. I'd be applauded in between each one of the things I said. Now
I'm
going to
look for
it
and we'll find something. Well, okay, you... we're mentioning you have learning disabilities and about history, I think.
Okay, that was the only subject that totally, it just was not, I mean, I'm sorry, but it wasn't interesting. And the teacher and I had a personality conflict, probably the only one I've ever had with anyone in my life. That's a funny story. But anyway, she did not care for me. And so I was looking this up. That was yesterday, I guess it was, and I thought, now I know why she didn't like me, because I didn't know anything. Well, I thought, well, my goodness, but to make a point for everybody to be following what I'm talking about, the Mayflower came over here, and then Columbus came over here with two other ships, and I thought that was all one big party. I mean, I thought that was all one group, you know, but that's 200 years apart. And then the Thanksgiving thing didn't happen until the 1800s with Abraham Lincoln. So just a brief little timeline is that when Columbus and the other two ships, when they came over to discover the Americas, they thought he died thinking that he had discovered it when actually, a shorter route to India. That's what he was looking for. And but he was in the Bahamas or some area like that, and he's the one that called the Indians. He thought he was in India, so he called them Indians. I thought that was neat. But later on, then the Puritans came over on the Mayflower for religious freedom, and that was real neat. But they got off course, and then it was winter by the time they landed, and they had to stay on the ship through the winter. And I think almost 50% of them passed away. But when they did, when that crisis was over and they were able to build houses and plant their crops, then they had a wonderful feast of Thanksgiving. But the Puritans, on the other hand, had always had feasts of Thanksgiving. It was part of their religious worship, was to fast and to do things to show forth their love and thankfulness to the Lord. And then I couldn't find the lady's name. Did you find her name? The one that...
No, I didn't even look. I want to ask you a question. I hope it doesn't throw you off your train of thought, but the picture, so were the Puritans inviting the, and I am going to call them Indians because I like it better than Native Americans, but inviting them to a feast that they already did, and the Indians joined them. And I believe that the Puritans, or the Pilgrims, didn't have any food, and the Indians brought the food. But was it a feast
that
had
our...
Am I getting ahead of our or behind our story?
No, there's different writers wrote different facts about it. One of them said that the Puritans stole the food from the Indians.
Uh-oh. Thank you.
I don't know. You know, I wasn't there.
I love thinking
sure.
that there is one shining moment of humans being human with each other, considering how sad the story is ends up being for the Indians. And we got plenty of Indian blood in us, don't we?
Yep, we do. And
as it grew,
get how much from just that few people, 50 or so, to 7,000. And I was going to write those dates down, but that's really interesting that just such a few people, and now look at the billions of people in America.
Unbelievable.
And there was camaraderie between certain Indian tribes were peaceful and others were not. And just like with the Puritans, some of them were pure and some of them stole their corn. But and then we don't know about that. That's not, I shouldn't make a remark like that. But later on, this lady, and I wish I could remember her name. She.
You mean try to Google her?
Yeah, that would be good. She really wanted there to be, because of so much tension between the states, she wanted there to be a day of Thanksgiving. And she put it all together and approached the president, Abraham Lincoln, and he agreed. And so I think it was 1860s that Abraham Lincoln declared the last Thursday of November to be a national holiday. So that's very interesting. But that... it was 1621, the Plymouth colonist, and I can't pronounce the Indians. They were Wampanoag Indians, shared a harvest feast. So
that,
you
see, that the 1620, that happened, that we wouldn't have made it, that the Pilgrims wouldn't have made it through the year without the Indians. I'm still not finding the Abraham Lincoln lady's name, but I interrupted you anyway.
No, that's good. I thought I had it written down with that particular little history of Thanksgiving, but I didn't. So maybe next week, I'll just throw that in as a little anecdote.
That's right. We'll have him fill in our gaps. Knowing him, he'll call in at the end of the show and tell us. I want to throw in here and remind all of you beautiful people on the telephone, if you decide there's something you want to talk about or something you're thankful for or any struggle that you have or anything you want to talk about, just press 1. I'll see a little hand come up by your name, and I will bring you online as soon as possible. Now go ahead. Oh, I'm on it now too, Mama, because this one's talking about Abraham Lincoln. She advocated Sarah Josepha Hale.
Yes, that's it, Sarah Hale.
Mm-hmm.
I probably didn't write down because I thought surely I'll remember that.
She urged them to have a day of annual Thanksgiving, make it a national and fixed Union festival. You may have observed that for some years past, there has been an increasing interest felt in our land to have Thanksgiving held on the same day in all the states. It now needs national recognition and authoritative fixation only to become permanently an American custom and institution. My goodness, she's a round-the-world writer, but I still think she had a wonderful idea. She was 74. When she wrote that letter. You're a spring chicken to her.
That's right.
I love that because, you know, you and I have been having a lot of conversations lately about how important it is to look to the good, how important it is to be thankful. Neither one of us are big, you know, fake it till you make it and just bury your feelings and pretend to be happy. We're not that kind of person, but it is important how you think. And there are so many things for all of us to be grateful for, even in those hard, horrible times. If you look around you, we've mostly got enough food, we've got water, we've got shelter, we've got freedom. We've got a lot of things to be grateful for, and I'm just really glad that there is a day that we turn and look at those good things in our lives. Powerful.
Powerful, very powerful. More than we probably even comprehend how powerful that to turn and give thanks for all the many, many, many blessings, but not to do it in a selfish way, and I like what you said about it's in sometimes the deepest, darkest trials and crisis that we really become thankful. There are things that we find out about ourselves and the serious things about life, and we become thankful and grateful for those things that are right. I had looked up an article, and I didn't, when I copied it, I didn't get the person that had written it, so forgive me on that, but they brought out some points about being grateful and the power that it has, and it's not according to a feeling, because like you and I were discussing, sometimes right in the middle of a just almost elated feeling, there can come just like a big wave of a letdown or depression. And so we aren't thankful because of feelings, because feelings are, they're fickle. You know, they can just turn for gobs of reasons. It can be physical, it can be chemical, it can be circumstances or whatever. But being thankful is absolutely a decision. Don't you agree?
I like that. I really like that. That reminds me, I've heard people say that about love, especially like I believe it was talking about in a marriage, but it can be in any relationship. It's not always that glowy, wonderful feeling of love. It's a decision. You're going to love that person. You're going to do what's right by that person. You're going to, you know, have that unconditional love no matter what you're feeling in that moment. And I think we all know if you have any close relationships, you do have those moments when it doesn't feel just exactly like love. But still it's love. And, okay, are you going to tell us about the guy with the nine steps? Is that who you didn't get the name of?
That's right. His father had told him, and he's written a book, The Wealthy Soul, I believe. And, I'm going to get this information and let Wild Bill sort of complete it out. But he was talking about his father had a terminal illness, and he had given him these steps to being successful, not just business successful, but in life. And he said to give thanks was one of the first things that he brought out to his son, because it is a deliberate decision. And if you do not choose to be thankful, then you're caught in what he brought out, a feeling of being shortchanged all the time. You know, like I just didn't get what I deserve, or I've, something's, well, you know, that pretty well sums it up. And you, or maybe a feeling of envy towards other people. You're angry. You're just tired of life, and you're just existing from one thing to the other because your expectations have not been what you set out for them to be. But if you choose to change your focus and begin to give and truly give thanks, it will become a feeling. It will change your entire attitude.
As we mentioned, I like that.
Attitude, it determines your altitude. And so he went on to explain that you will, even though you don't feel good, if you are grateful, it will make you feel good. There is just a different, to me, what happens, the feeling I have when I have when I choose to be thankful and to be grateful is like I've been carrying a big load, and all of a sudden I just let it go. Or maybe to say that I was pushing against some type of force, and it's just gone. And gratitude, thankfulness can, I mean, when Jesus told us to do that, he wasn't just saying, now this is power of positive thinking, all that, that works also. He was giving us, as usual, an insight to absolute power and strength in this life. And I
how it works, I'm seeing a picture of like a train, as in a train of thought, just chugging along, like you said, all those negative things you can be thinking that are just so far outside of the realm of thinking that you deserve an iPad and all your friends have an iPad, or, you know, something silly or something deep, and you miss your dad and it's not fair that your dad's gone, or you're going through a divorce, something, whatever. But just that very act of being thankful stops that train, turns it around, and gets it going another way, because even in those dark times, and especially like we both already touched on, sometimes especially in those dark times, there's a blessing. I want you to do all nine of the points, but we do have, it's got to be a friend of yours, I believe, because it's a Mississippi caller at 7376. Who is this?
This is Reverend Dana Brock.
Hello, Reverend Dana Brock. Are you a friend of my mom?
I sure am.
I'm putting you on the spot. You're having to claim her.
That's all right.
Well, I want to say something. Hey,
okay.
Brother Dana Brock, Joy Bells has been one of the most supportive people in the clubhouse ministry that we have here.
I appreciate that.
Brought air conditioners, a deep freeze, and he does artwork, and his daughter has helped in the youth class, and I really do deeply appreciate. And it's not because this young man has not had tremendous obstacles and struggles, but he is one of the most positive, powerful people that I've ever met. Very attractive.
Well,
all,
if I'm knowing who he is, maybe I'm wrong about who I'm thinking about, but hasn't he been like a wonderful blessing to our family, like moving grandma and helping you with things before the clubhouse, or am I thinking of someone else?
No, this is Brother Dana Brock. When we had anything we had to do, from packing, unpacking, groceries, anything, Brother Dana Brock was there.
Dana, by the time we get done bragging on you, you're going to be excited to hear what you've got to say, aren't you?
Well, I appreciate everything. You're going to make my head swell.
Did you want to share something that you're thankful for?
Yes, ma'am. Well, there was a couple of scriptures in the Bible I wanted to read that, you know, sometimes people overlook. And Jesus did the things he did in reasons. He had reasons why behind everything he did. A lot of times people didn't understand. He was teaching lessons. And Ephesians 5:20, it says, giving thanks always for all things. It didn't say just the good things. It says that all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything, give thanks. Once again, everything, then all things. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Here we see that God's telling us in two scriptures right here to give thanks in always for all things and to give thanks in everything.
That's really, really good. Mom
and
I have talked about this subject, too, that sometimes we don't even know which one is good and which one is bad. Sometimes we think something is the most horrible thing that could have happened, and down the line it ends up being a blessing. And sometimes you think, oh, this is exactly what I wanted, and something bad comes out of it. So, yeah, you can't be so quick to even label the things good and bad. I like those. That's.
I think you can find good in everything, for this point that Jesus looked at a sinful world, and he found good in it. He saw man. Even though man wasn't good, he saw something in man is the reason why he come. He had to see something that he was thought was good, because he created us. It's what sin that messed us all up. We didn't have any flaws when he created us. Sin came in and messed us all up. But somewhere in us, when God looked down, he saw that good that he created many years ago. He saw that good was still in there, and he saw that there was still hope for man. And that's why he didn't give up. That's why he says, in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God. My mom and dad both died of cancer, and I'm thankful that I got to spend time with them before they died. I'm thankful that somebody just didn't come in and tell me, say, hey, your mom got killed in a car wreck. And I never got to say goodbye, or I never got to square things up if something was going on. I'm thankful that when the Lord took her, that she went the way she did, that I got to spend time with her. One thing people forget, we're flesh, we're all going to die. There's no getting around it. We're all going to die. And we have an appointed time. But I'm glad that I'm thankful that I got to spend all them years with my mother and father.
That reminds me of my dad, that last sentence about we're all going to die. Whenever he got diagnosed and everybody was acting like it was such a big deal, he said, I don't understand why everybody's acting so shocked. We always knew this was coming. This is the one thing we all knew, was that we were going to die. Y'all are right behind me. People would look real peaked, like, hey, I sure don't want to hear that. But it's true. It is part of it. and it can be a sacred part of it. Well, Josie, did you hire Brother Dana to come in and prove your point? Because that was spot on with what you just had said.
No, I just appreciate it so much. He's, I might mention here that I go to Jesus Name Tabernacle, as you know, and my pastor is Pastor Jean Holland. And this
Woo-hoo.
Lady is Sorry. The most, generates the most positive thankfulness I've ever, I've never seen anything like it. And Brother Dana has, he's just, if you could see the interaction on how, when we have a service, if there's a need, if there's visitors, or Brother Dana's right there. And that's what, that I mean, it just, it manifests the love of God without a sermon. It's just, it's
your
really
church
wonderful.
Really is like that. I think it's partially with me. It's because they all love you so much. But they are. Brother Dana, I'm closing out your mic, but if you have something else you want to add later, just raise your hand again. We got another caller, but I thank you so much
sure
for
will.
Calling.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. But whenever I'm there, I certainly just feel there's so much love there, the most genuine, authentic people I've ever seen. All right, we've got a Tennessee caller with the last four digits, 7473. Who is this?
This is Sister Linda Kaiser.
You're a Mississippi, Tennessee, Arkansas, Texas caller.
I've been everywhere, man. I'm sorry.
I'll be seeing you in a day or so.
Oh yeah, I'm a little stressed up. I'm not real feeling well tonight, but
Aww.
I wanted to say that Brother Dana.
Be grateful said, anyway.
Yeah, I'm grateful he read all those scriptures for me because I didn't have to read them. But I guess this may sound like it's off key, but or off whatever. I'm gonna say it. I'm thankful for all the guys that I was engaged to. I didn't get married to them.
I have a couple of those, not engaged to, but a couple of people I dated. I see them and I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I mean, I was at conference back in September, and this man, I was talking to a pastor's wife. We hadn't seen each other in 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and we were just chatting, and this guy was standing in the wings over here, kind of like waiting, and I thought, who knows this dude, you know? So when she left, he came to me, he said, Sister Linda Kaiser. I said, yes. He said, do you know me? And I almost said, no, come up here, give me your driver's license. I probably could help you out a little bit. But, but it was the guy that I was engaged to in Texas. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I would not be able to be married to him tonight. So I'm serious. Thank
I saw a
God.
Kid, this is a little bit sad, but a kid at the high school had a T-shirt on that said, just thank God I'm not your kid. It's kind of sad, but when you looked at the kid, it worked, too. I thought, well, you know, I am.
Well, it might be like that woman at Walmart, you know, the child was at the toy department, and I was doing something for my niece, and he was pitching a tantrum in a fit, and she says, which one do you want, which one, point it out, and I wasn't going to say, he doesn't know what you're saying, you know, he's going to get that. So what happened was, she jerked him up, he's about 2.5, 3 years old, maybe, and she had him by his belt, and his legs were kicking, her arms were kicking, and she said, I can't do anything with him. And I thought, well, how old are you? How old is he? You going to let a 2.5 or 3 year old child be your boss? I said, you're going to be with me, but I thank God I didn't have any heathens to raise either.
You're just feeling pretty satisfied with your choices at this point, aren't you?
I don't know.
You can share. You can share Mama's kids, at least for this holiday. We have another hand raised. Did you have anything else you want to say?
No, I really am thankful for all of God's blessings. Just thank God for truth and thank God for all the filling of the Holy Ghost.
All right. I'm closing out your mic, but same thing I said, Brother Dana. Brother Dana's hand is still up. I think you press one again and it'll take it away, and then you can, if you press one again after that, it'll add it back on. Okay, we've got another Tennessee caller, although I'm not sure Sister Kaiser counted as a Tennessee caller, but it is 7863, I believe. What are happening to
hey.
My eyes? I'm thankful for my eyesight. Who is this?
This is Alex.
Or Axel or Pierce. You're definitely involved in the nickname aspect of this family, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
You claim us. You don't even bat an eye when we call you part of the family. Mama,
exactly.
This is Nancy's son, Axel.
Hey.
Or Alex,
hey.
Or Pierce. Or He'll answer to anything. How are you doing tonight? I saw your post on the. I thought about you. You and Ashton, within moments of each other, both posted how beautiful the moon was. So I guess it was pretty in Austin and in Murfreesboro.
Oh yeah, like it was like golden and it was like real big. It looked really cool. Like,
Mama,
awesome.
Alex and I exchange picture texts of the sky because we both really love the sky, so when there's a beautiful sky, we take a picture and send it to each other.
Oh, which is always in Tennessee, of course, but...
Hey, watch it. I can mute your microphone.
This is true.
Did you want to tell us something you're thankful for?
I'm thankful for my family, and you guys, of course, because you guys are awesome.
And we are part of your family. Your extended family. Well, that is a good thing to be thankful for, and I don't think a lot of people your age realize how thankful they should be for their family. I think that's wonderful that you're calling in to say that. Since I know your family, then I think you're smart for appreciating them, too.
Appreciate it.
They'll be glad to know I thought so, huh? How's school going?
Exactly. It's good. I'm finishing on my first semester, and this past week I signed up for my classes for next semester. So.
All right.
Yeah, it's going
good.
How's school for you?
Oh, I'm so glad that the semester's winding down, but it'll almost kill you right there at the end, won't it?
Yes, exactly. The final. Let me tell you.
Trying to get everything done. I don't know. All you kids should really be happy for me because I am a voice in your parents' ears that it's not as easy as they think it is to get all this work done and do everything you need to do.
Exactly.
Well, did you have anything else you wanted to add? We've got another hand up, and I think Blog Talk Mom's got 8 more points to get through. But if you've got anything else to say, we want to hear it.
Oh, no, you're good. Just about to say.
I appreciate you calling in so much. It's good to hear your voice.
You too.
All right, talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. I think I cut him off at the end of his bye, but y'all got it. It ended with I. All right, Mama, do you want to go ahead with some more? All right. Let's hear some more of the points, because that first one was good, generated a lot of conversation. The rest of you callers, feel free to press 1 if you've got something to say.
One of the statements that was made was about a Dr. Janine Calaba, Calaba, author of Power Appreciation, and her studies prove that when you choose to be thankful and you begin to feel thankful, that it's not just a good feeling. Literally, your mind, your heart, and physically, things begin to change. There are certain chemicals that begin to release. You will sleep better instead of counting sheep. Count your blessings. They mention when you lie down, begin to just you'll begin to feel contented. You relax, and it has tremendous power. It's not just looking through rose-colored glasses type thing. It is extremely powerful. In the physical realm, it can lift depression, anxiety, and all the other negative forces that come against us to begin to work against our productivity. So,
like you said,
think,
it's not like let's just do this thing that's just so horrible, like the Bible is suggesting, do this whether you feel like it or not. I don't care how you feel. No, it's trying to say, do this, you'll feel better. This will work.
That's right.
This, right.
Sorry, I wish we would.
So hard for you to ever. I keep interrupting you.
Oh, that was very good. That's the whole thing in a nutshell, what you just said. And you're welcome to take a call if you want to. Or I remember the book the lady was reading about her about how she was giving thanks for her child. It was an email. I don't remember exactly, A long time ago, I'd read a book that said this lady was just extremely frustrated by her laundry. She hated to do laundry. And she, in her devotion, the Lord began to speak to her and talk to her to give thanks and to be thankful. And so when she would pick up the little dirty sock where he'd walk through mud and everything else of her three-year-old, she began to give thanks that he could walk, you know, that God had blessed her with a child that was able to run and have a good time And each part, each time she would come against something that really aggravated her, she would turn it into a being thankful thing. And her whole life, it became, what this doctor said is that you begin to send positive energy to that child. Whereas when they walk in, if you're aggravated, and then your tone is going to be aggravated, then the negative atmosphere is there. And that has to be overcome.
And you just recently, maybe the email that you're talking about, you just recently really helped me with that. I was extremely good at that, I believe, when my children were young. I was very just focused on them. They were all I wanted, and I was so grateful for them. And, you know, there were stories like other people's kids getting stolen or getting killed. Or I remember one time there was a person on Oprah, and she talked about keeping her kids, that her kid just died in a freak accident, and that she missed that little dirty dog smell that boys have when they come in after playing really hard. And every time my kids came in for 3 weeks, I bawled because of that little smell that they had. But I think I was very in touch with that. But then I've lost it in the teenage years because those trials and hassles somehow aren't, they just are, I'm not compatible with them, or I don't understand how to work with them, or they're just different. I never had any of the terrible two or the, none of that. I didn't have that. But in the teen years, I've gotten a lot of resentment towards my children and a lot of things to work through. And recently you said something, and or sent me an email right now. I can't remember where the insight came from, but it's just been so helpful to just spend some actual time thinking about how much I do love them and how grateful I am that they are alive, that they are healthy, that they are smart, that they are beautiful, that they are whatever it is that I believe that they are. And you're exactly right. On top of everything else, it helps there to be a shift in them. Because if they're seeing all that resentment and you're ungrateful and you're got a smart mouth and you're mean to me and all that, even if you're not saying it, but that's what you're feeling, then you're creating that kind of an, you're being part of creating that kind of an atmosphere. And I still don't know where the middle of the line is on that, because you can't just let a kid act goofy, but you don't have to be all tied up with having resentment for them either, because I do love my children, believe it or not, sometimes. I'm not sure. We've got a couple of hands up, and I think it might be like 7473. Is that Sister Kaiser? Her hand may just still be up. Is that, do you know if that's her last four digits?
I don't recall. I think it is, though.
Let me check real quick, make sure these people have something to say. Okay, we've got Mississippi 7376, which may be Brother Dana. Let me just see. 7376, is this Brother Dana?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you have something else to say, or was your hand just still up?
Yeah, I was going to say something real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to say, I didn't want a night to get away without saying how much we appreciate Sister Lively, the Lord sent Sister Lively, you know, because of Sister Lively started the Holland School of Ministries at our church, and because of that, a lot of us ministers were able to be licensed and ordained because of the college class she started. And I just want to say I appreciate that. That's only a tip of the iceberg of the many things she's done with our class. You know what she's doing with the children and everything, but she's done this for us older people and younger ones that were starting out in the ministry, and it was the funnest time I ever had. It was the only time I ever loved going to school.
She's an amazing teacher, isn't she? Anybody who's ever been lucky enough to be taught by my mom remembers it and says that she's one of the best teachers they've ever had. She is something
else. Because she cares. She cares. You know, I went to school, I felt like the teachers didn't care because I had a learning disability also, and it's just like, they just double looked at you, you know, and just, they didn't care. They just give you the help and send you home. But I thank God for Sister Lively. You know, she took the time with us and taught us things that we didn't know. And it's helped us and it's helped me in my ministry. And still,
I am still pretty sure she paid you to call. That's two times in a row now. That
just God sending her to us was payment enough, because she has really gone above and beyond the call of duty at our church. She has been a blessing.
All right, I'm going to give her a round of applause.
All right.
Thank you, Brother Dana. And now I'm going to see if Sister Kaiser has something else to say. Sister Kaiser, is 7473, is this you?
That's me. I was
did you raise your hand? Okay.
Yes, I did. I was going to try to get back on when Axel was there, because I wanted to tell him that his mother is the queen of baklava. because I'm
here. She is.
She made some baklava for me, and I said from Tennessee to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it's fancy restaurants. They can't even touch her baklava.
Oh, I'm going to make sure she gets that message. Shame on her for not calling tonight, but I'll still make sure she gets the message.
tell her
you're thankful for Sister Nancy's cooking skill.
Oh, that baklava especially is awesome.
She's got a couple other things that are pretty good. You need to sample some more of her dishes. But, yeah, she does make excellent baklava.
Well, I don't care about a lot of sweets, but I like that. But I went to one restaurant that was the preacher's wife took me there in Albuquerque. Very, very, very nice. And da-da-da, you had to be dressed just right. And they brought me their specialty baklava. It tasted like cardboard. It was trash.
You said, no, thank you. I've already had the best.
Really, truly.
All right, Josie, we better get back on. We've got 20 minutes left on the show. But now don't let that stop the rest of you guys. If you've got something you want to be thankful for, this is your time to raise that hand and testify. But, Josie, can you get another couple out?
Well, there's several things. There's a scripture I was going to mention to you, if I can appear on the it's found in Luke, the 17th chapter, and there's been several in my life, several ministers preach on this, about the 10 lepers that were, when Jesus went into the village, and there were 10 lepers there. These men were, because of leprosy, were not allowed to return to their families. They had to stay outside and cry unclean. It was a horrible, horrible illness. And they came to Jesus, and they wanted to be healed. And so Jesus told them to go and show themselves to the priest, which was would be what they had to do to prove that they were well. So they did have faith, and they believed Jesus. They did turn. But one of them, when he saw, because as they turned, the leprosy was gone, and as he saw that the leprosy was gone, he turned back, and he went back to Jesus, and he knelt before him and began to praise and give glory to God for his healing. And Jesus made the comment. He said that he went away, this man went away whole. Now, the others were healed, but there may be great significance in the fact that the man that turned and gave thanks was not only healed of leprosy, but there was a wholeness there, a body, soul, and spirit. That thanksgiving was not like Jesus just patting him on the head because he'd been a good boy. It was the fact that he gave thanks did a deeper, more significant work than could have possibly been done if he hadn't. So when
which
we give
included
thanks,
there for that principle, exactly, for us to grasp that principle. Go ahead.
And
yeah,
that's hard to do. It's very difficult for me. I have relationship issues. I'm 70 years old, and you know, if there were not for traffic, I may really be a pretty neat person. But when somebody gets right up behind me and I can't even see their lights, and they're that close to me, and we're going 45 miles an hour down 49, it's just one time. I thought, well, I'll just put on my brake, and I did, and they had to leave the road, and I don't recommend that to anybody. That's not
you're channeling daddy there.
That's right. That's who taught me how to do it. And but the point is that I don't believe I would have done that day if I had not been in a negative frame of mind. I had not, you know, probably not. I don't even recall that specific day. But my point is the danger of allowing an accumulation of negative, ungrateful thoughts. It will then, when you are triggered, those are the thoughts that are going to fly to the surface, and you're going to say something you didn't want to say or do something you didn't want to do, you know, and then
yeah,
add.
You've heard that analogy about that there's, I think it's dogs, two dogs inside you, and the one that you feed is the one that's going to live. Dog doesn't sound very good. But I
no,
mean,
that's true.
You know, like feed the part of you that's angry and that's looking at everything from a negative point of view, and that's what's going to become stronger. Feed the part of you that's grateful, that's happy, that's looking for those things. One of your and my favorite people in the world is here, and even though they haven't raised their hand, I'm going to bring me Sobrina on the line because these are the kinds of subjects she and I talk about a lot, and she has impressed me with her ability in the heat of the moment to turn around and be grateful for what's going on and look for the lesson that's in it. Because as she says, I do not want to learn this again, so I'm going to go ahead and get the most out of it right now. Hello, Jennifer. We love you.
Hey, I love you too. Hi, Grandma. I love you.
I love you more.
Let's have a contest right here on the radio show.
Yeah. I am thankful for a lot of things, my children, my
family.
I'll
list some of yours. Got two beautiful, amazing, healthy kids and a vampire that you're going back to Arkansas for Thanksgiving with.
Yes. Grandma, I was joking just now because I am driving, and I did have someone right behind me where I couldn't see their lights, and I wasn't in the positive place. And,
Gam Gam is amazingly on these last few days. See, everything she says just translates immediately into my life and a chance to try to put it. So you just had that truly instantly. She said what you needed to hear.
I jokingly said that my road rage dates back to even my grandmother.
That is, though, you know, as Jennifer, you know how we've talked before about I almost like it when there's things that stir me up that are coming from people or things that I don't really care about, like as opposed to when it's things that are really near and dear and break you open. When something annoys me, like traffic, I have learned to just almost be grateful about that because I'm like, all right, well, this is good. I can work this stuff out here. And I'm constantly sending blessings to the cars around me and praying for people, and when I feel that little bit of rage, I just then try to figure out why and process it. And so I'm constantly in sort of a spiritual thing while I'm driving, which will probably get me killed, but there you go.
No, it's really good because in the mornings I'm like that because traffic on 31 is insane in the mornings, and I embrace it. It's what it is, and I just go with the flow, and I'm fully aware of what's going on around me and hoping that the other cars are fully aware of what they're doing.
And on the subjects like we've talked about before, you're grateful that you've got that awesome car. Grateful that you've got a job.
Yes.
Exactly. It is really, you can always, in any situation, you can always turn it around, and there is something that's beautiful in it. Even, I think it was Brother Dana, even in the moment there is something, but even when it doesn't feel like it, in the big picture that we sometimes can't see, there is always something. Jennifer, do you have anything else you want to say, or you want me to mute your mic?
No, you can mute me. I just wanted to say that I'm thankful for the both of you very much, and I love y'all very much as well.
I love you. I can't wait to see you. If nothing else, then next Thanksgiving, but I think it's going to have to be quicker than that.
I agree.
I love you.
Okay, I love
y'all. Press one again if you decide there's something else you want to say.
Okay, I will. We're listening on speakerphone.
Okay.
All right,
so we'll say happy Thanksgiving to Haley, happy Thanksgiving to Abby, happy Thanksgiving to the vampire Michael.
Well, you know it's quiet, so the girls are sleeping.
Oh, I love that about a road trip. Y'all will be able, once the show gets over, y'all will be able to chat and enjoy yourself. Don't say anything brilliant because in the meantime your mic closed. All right, Gam Gam, you have got... No, see, we've got a whole new nickname for you there. You've got 12 minutes. I don't think I'm going to take any more calls.
Oh, yeah, do that.
No,
I'm
loving
that.
This is so good. Well, yeah, it's
and
all good.
The thing about the road rage and all that, there is, I don't want their actions to determine my actions. You know, if I'm sitting driving and thinking just how ignorant and stupid they are, and then I do the same thing, and then what does that make me? You know, my label. And that particular time that I did that the truck left the road, it could have been a major car accident, and I really was sorry that I did that. But because there's so many opportunities to have wrecks anymore, and there are so many people out there that are drinking, especially during holidays. Maybe there may be some type of drug addiction. And you might want to comment on that before we go off there, too, of the college course that you took. But anyway, we need to be very,
we
very...
We might talk about that another time, but you just made me think of something. I remember once, it was very early in the diagnosis, and we were just very in shock and sad about Daddy, and Afshin and I mean, like, it could have been the day after it. And Afshin and I were together at Walmart, and we were buying some stuff to take back to Daddy's house, and we were just really, really sad. And I remember it just feeling so annoying to me, or just so wrong and jarring to me, that the rest of the world was just acting like there's nothing wrong. And, you know, I had gotten that horrible news, and Afshin was feeling the same way. But anyway, he got some stuff out of the cart on the parking lot and didn't block the cart off or anything, and I didn't notice what was going on. And the cart rolled across the parking lot, and this idiot lady, she says spiritually evolved, came and just, like, cussed him out that that could have hit her car, and was so mad. And I thought at that moment, even including the idiot lady, that I'm just always going to remember that you have no idea what people are going through. Who hasn't done something stupid? Yes, you're right. He shouldn't have let go of the cart, or I should have been watching the cart or something. But is that really that big a deal? And then the next thought process of it was, maybe there's a reason why her nerves are that raw, why she can't handle one more person doing something stupid. And we just all have to, without judgment, try to love each other. As simplistic as it sounds, it's the same concept of what you said before, that it sounds like, well, yeah, like you're being mean, but the point is, that is the way to be happier.
Yeah.
That's the way that works.
I like the idea of just having enough wisdom and insight to realize that somebody coming down the road may have just got news that someone may, or, you know, there's...
Yeah.
Million and one things that could be going on in that person's life. So I automatically go to the mindset that they're doing this on purpose. They're just wanting to make my life as miserable as they can when we have a choice. We don't
exactly
know the person. We don't know the situation. So since we have a choice of what we believe, then believe the good. Go to the good. And that's one of the things that he brings out in the steps of living in peace. Don't look for a way to fight, or don't look for something that can bring lasting animosity, but look for peace. And the Bible says that there is a peace that passes all understanding. In other words, I mean, it may mean a lot of different things, but our understanding says that man shouldn't be on my bumper. That's dangerous. He's an idiot. But beyond that understanding, like you said, they may have just got news, and here I am in the lane that they need to go, you know, feel like they need to hurry. So that passes my what my actual understanding is and goes
good
into the realm of love. This week when we were working to get all the dinners ready for the families for Thanksgiving, I got real frustrated. There was just a little time in there that my organizational skills and ADD and everything else just sort of failed me there. And I could feel my spirit getting not really angry. Maybe it was angry. But anyway, the Lord, it seemed like the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you know, you can do all this, but if you don't do it out of love, it profits you nothing. And that didn't mean that I wouldn't get anything out of it, but it just meant that my desire to see all these families blessed and to be uplifted, it wouldn't work. It won't come to pass if I get the wrong attitude. I stop that flow of the love of God that makes everything right. And that's really hard to lay hold on and comprehend continually for me. I don't know about other people.
But it is, again, the magical key of what we've said in two or three different points here, that even though it seems so hard, it's not as hard as not doing it. It's a matter of just retraining our minds, and it ends up, you end up being more happy. Because I'll sometimes tell myself, like, you can give yourself an excuse for why you're off track, but being off track is not as much fun as being on track ever.
And the feeling that goes against us is what we have to recognize. I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling discontented, but I choose to be thankful. And then when I choose to be thankful, that triggers all of the many things I have to be thankful for, and then I can release and let go of the anger. And I can
I like that.
I can re- Yeah, that's not my thoughts. That's this man that wrote this article. I was just sort of paraphrasing it.
Because you can kind of skip the step of trying to figure out, okay, what's this bringing up for me? Why am I so agitated and all of that? And just go straight to, all right, I see that I'm feeling that way. And instead of riding that train, I'm going to ride this train. Isn't the sky beautiful? I'm so grateful that I'm getting to go see my mother, isn't it? Yeah, or whatever
yeah.
it is that you're grateful for, and just ride that train. Because as you also pointed out this week, we've got, I'm going to be very scientific here and say, a kajillion thoughts that we're not even aware of. But getting more and more of aware of that small percentage that is up there in our conscious mind is so powerful, of paying attention to what it is you're thinking, not trying to suppress it or judge yourself for it or anything else, but just you can choose to ride a different train. We got 6 minutes left, so any of you that want to take this opportunity to say thank you, say something about Thanksgiving, then you better press one because time is running out, and we'd love to hear from you. And Josie, I'm hoping you can get a couple more points out. If I won't, this time I'm just going to let you run through it.
Well, I sort of paraphrased as I went through it, but I do want to say that I am extremely thankful for my children, for Joy Bells and Wild Bill. You're the greatest blessings that God ever put into my life. You make everything worthwhile. The Lord saw fit to let little Jennifer come stay with me for a period of time, which was one of the highlights of my entire life, and aww. She and I share some of those things sometimes, and maybe it'll work out again so that maybe we can have a big get together. But I do love my family very, very much, and I look forward to did a little study of all right.
Well, I don't know if we've been grateful enough. I hear people anytime I go anywhere related to Pentecost, people just are so happy for me that I have a mother like you. You have affected a lot of people's lives. This is kind of off subject, but suddenly I remembered. Let's give out your website, which I've only been able to spend an hour or so on, but it has already, I don't know how new, I don't know when you actually kicked it off, but it's got a lot of content. A person could get lost in there. So if you want to know more about what Blog Talk Mom is about, go to her website, which I think, Mama, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's www.bobbielively.com. Is that right?
That's it, BOBBIELIVELY.com. And there's a place there I would love for you to, if you watch it, you know, give a comment back through that particular page. Also, you can see some of the pictures of the clubhouse, some of the children, and some history of the church. And I also shared a video that you can also get on YouTube of, is it Andrea?
And
Scotty?
Andre.
Andre. I'm sorry I messed that up because I think he is.
Anyway, the blind guy that sings kind of in an operatic tone, if you've seen him, like on Oprah.
Oh,
Andre Botticelli or something, maybe?
If you went on Wikipedia, you see that he has won more awards than any other person ever, I believe. But anyway, this particular song, he sings the Lord's Prayer, and it is very, very beautiful, and I hope you enjoy that. And any comments that you have about the clubhouse, because I'm so blessed to be a part of that. And I want to mention here, too, our church is very, very supportive. Also, WOE Ministries, Women Hearing, Obeying in Action, with the founder, Lane Craft, has...
That's
and her,
a cute name.
It is, WOE Ministries. And she has Brown Bag Buddies on Thursdays and also a television program on Fridays. And they have been so generous to help with the clubhouse. They funded 20 complete dinners this past week for the people.
Wow,
in that.
What a blessing.
And they'll get Christmas, and they're just different things that they've done. And I really deep. They pay our electric bill, and in their national magazines, they have an article about the clubhouse. And I think
this is all the WOA, WHOA.
Right.
They got a website.
Yes, and you get their magazine. It goes all over. It's sold out just about by the time. It's an excellent magazine. And
I will remind people that Wild Bill has a Facebook page for your place, And you can contact him on here, too. You can send him emails. I think he really, really loves getting the emails. And Blog Talk Mom and I, before the show started, we both said that one of the things we wanted to be thankful for was this show. I know it's touched a lot of people, but it has been a wonderful thing. While Bill had a vision of people, of just the power of just having an open conversation, a place where people could come and anything could be talked about, and just discussed, and everybody had an equal right to express what they wanted to say, and it has been such a blessing. I really just enjoy this show, and I appreciate him giving Josie and I the chance to take care of it for tonight. It's been fun, Mama.
I really have enjoyed it, and I thank you. We're really blessed, and I hope the people that listen also have enjoyed it.
I hope so, too. We love you all. We hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And Wild Bill will be back with you next week. Thank you. Goodbye.